We are in a different time. I am praying that this wouldn't last for long. But we need hope. We need hope in this time. And what better hope we have but the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, I couldn't get my printer going, so I'll have to find the text and read it. So bear with me a little bit. We have hope. I wanted to start this morning with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're just going to go to verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. Jesus help us. And if Christ has not been risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Praise God. You know, if we don't have the resurrection, we have no hope. You know, right now I was home, and I'm thinking to myself, I feel like I'm in prison. And I called one pastor friend and I said, how are you dealing with this being all at home? And he said, he's enjoying it. He's loving it. He's enjoying the rest. Me, I'm going, Lord, help me. I'm a person, I like to move. I like to get around. I like to go see this one. I like to minister to this one. And this thing is confining me. But praise God, because I have hope. How do I know I have hope? You know, history books, even Josephus, the historian, he said that Christ rose from the dead. There's evidence. But let's see what Matthew said in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, praise God, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus. I hope this morning, if you don't have Jesus this morning, you're looking for him. I just hope that. It says, who was crucified? He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Jesus Christ is risen. And folks, even in this time where it seemed to be so dark, in this time when the news is giving us so much news that is making you want to just crawl in a hole and hide. You don't want to touch anybody. You don't want to get close to anybody. You wonder when you buy the food from the grocery store if you're bringing home death. But this morning I have hope. Because Christ is risen. But how can we live the resurrected life? You know, we celebrate the resurrection. But in order to celebrate the resurrection, we must go back and look how to get to the resurrected life. I just want to share with you a few scriptures. I prayed and I asked God, I said, Lord, help me to give something that would help us to live the resurrected life, even in the light of what's going on. The first step in getting to a resurrected life is to turn it all over to Jesus. Are you out there this morning? I've invited some of you to listen in on this Zoom cast, and I'm hoping that as you listen, you would hear something that changed your life and you turn your life over to Jesus Christ. You must turn it all over to Him. How do I know that? You must be committed. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, having this mind among yourself, which is in Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking up the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of a man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't just come down, live a regular life, died of old age. What did Jesus do? He submitted to the Father. He surrendered everything. The Bible gives us a good scripture for that. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. The first step to get to that resurrected life is a full surrender to Christ. Jesus fully surrendered to his Father. And with that, he gave up everything. I think for a moment that some of us don't give up everything. We hold on. We hold on to some things, but the songwriter says, let me give up my future to follow Christ. You have to empty yourself. You have to humble yourself and become obedient even to the point of death. This morning, I encourage you to pick up your cross daily, as Luke put it, and follow. You must not only be able to surrender it all, but you must be focused. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, one of the scriptures that really took with me, and every time I wrote a letter to anybody, I would put that in the bottom. Anytime, I don't know where along the line I stopped doing that, but here's a scripture I would use all the time. And this is what Jesus said. He was very young. And they couldn't find him. And when they found him, he uttered these words, why are you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Here is a young man. Fully human he was, but he was focused. He knew what had to be at the forefront of his mind. What needs to be at the forefront of our mind to live that resurrected life is that I must be about my Father's business. Do you ever say that? When you're in the grocery line? I used to put that on every communication I sent out. I used to always put that down. I must be about my Father's business. I think I have to take that up again because it helps to remain focused. You know, some of us, we come, we do what it says. We says, I will pick up the cross, I will deny myself, and I would follow Christ. But somewhere along the line, we lose focus and we do what we want to do. We forget that we are surrendering all to him. But we have to do what Jesus did. He says, I must be about my Father's business. You know, the next point is we must know what God is doing. You know, George is doing an excellent Bible study on Wednesday night. If you are not joining in, you need to join in. If I don't send you the link, you should be texting me afterwards. I need the link for Wednesday night. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Now, this is what Wednesday night study told me. You find out what God is doing, and you do what he's doing. Jesus didn't say, I was doing my own thing. He didn't say, I do what I feel is right. You know, what we learned Wednesday night is some people decide they're going to do something and hope God joins them on the journey. But that's not how it works. Jesus was focused. How did Jesus get to the resurrected life? Because he was doing what the Father was doing. Because he saw what the Father was doing. You need to spend time with God and find out what God is doing and join him. You know what? I always like to be on the winning team. Always. When I was the only sport I could play when I was growing up was basketball, pretty much. And the only reason I could play that sport well is because I was tall. I had no talent. I could jump a little higher than the rest, and because I'm tall, I could get that ball. But my team wasn't really a winning team, and part of the problem, I was on that team. I remember one time, and I think I told you all once before, I am on the bench waiting to be played. And halftime come and they didn't play me, but they put me in after halftime and I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't doing what the rest of the team was doing. I wasn't paying attention. And I get that ball. I jumped up and I grabbed that ball because I'm higher than the rest. And I keep shooting that ball. Everybody's shouting to me, no, no, no. And I score a goal for the other team. Why? Because I forget in halftime they swap goals. You see, what we do sometimes is we do our own thing because we're not paying attention to what God is doing. If you want to live the kind of resurrected life that Jesus said that we can live, you have to spend time with God. You have to pay attention of what God is doing, and you have to join him. I guarantee you that you will be victorious if you join in with what God is doing. Here's another one. John chapter 12 and verse 49. This is what Jesus said. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a command what to say and what to speak. Jesus didn't just do what he wanted to do. He did not say the things just he wanted to say. You know, this coronavirus is out there, and I hear people saying all kind of things. I hear people saying that it's the 4G. The 4G is out there, and it's just burning up. It's just killing us out. I hear other people saying other things. What is God saying? Did you all spend time finding out what God is saying? I got a few emails, and I opened up and I listened to them. And the first time you listen to them, you wonder, boy, I wonder if this thing is true. But what I have to do is spend time with the Father and find out what the Father is saying. And then I need to say what the Father is saying, not what I want to say. Now, I have my personal belief. I believe it's a plague. I really do. I believe it's a plague. But we must say what the Father is doing. Here's the other thing. We must pray. We must pray. How much time have you spent praying since this whole thing happened? Have your prayer life changed? Have you increased in crying out to God in this time? Or are you living your life the same? When Jesus was faced with a crisis in the flesh, he went to the Father. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. 26 and verse 38. Jesus said to them, truly, truly. Wait, I'm in the wrong place. Correct. Matthew 26, 38. I was reading the wrong place. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful. You know, I don't know if it was last night or the night before I was watching Channel 13 News, and they were showing the big ditch they have dug, and they're just putting these pine boxes of dead people in it. And that affected me. That affected me. I don't know how the people in New York that is close to this is even going through this. And I pray that our area don't get that bad. But Jesus says his soul was very sorrowful, even to death. And he said, remain here and watch with me. I am going a little further. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know what I've been praying? I've been praying, God, push back the hands of the enemy. I've been praying, God, watch out for your saints. I've been praying, God, hold this thing back. I've been praying, God, shorten the time span of this disease. But not my will. Your will be done. What do you do in times when your soul is very sorrowful? I know we could talk about COVID-19, but what about when the marriage is not working out and things are really, really, really bad? Are you going to God in prayer? Or are you handling things your own way? Guys, we have to find out what God is doing and join in with him. Jesus said it wonderfully. He said, what I do, I see the Father doing. And that's what I do. Here's what I want to say. I want to be able to say, guys, I am doing what the Father is doing because I'm spending some time with the Father and I see what he's doing and I want to do what he's doing. And then he said, and I say what the Father is saying. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to do that. And the only way I could do that is through prayer. Prayer when it's good and prayer when it's bad. Why was Jesus in such agony? He was about to take on the sins of the world. You know, it's sung tragic, but I put a smile because I know what it means for me. It means that I don't have to receive the wrath of God because Jesus did it for me. That's what this day is all about. This is about redemption. This is about freedom. This is about victory in Jesus Christ. Here's the thing, how you get to the resurrected life, you must run the race to the end. You can't stop halfway. You know, Jesus did it to the end. It said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, and being found in the form of human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He went all the way. Paul wrote and he says, you began well, what have hindered you? We must live the resurrective life right here, right now. Romans chapter 6.
I found this on the
All right, Romans chapter 6. Listen why. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in the new life. Do I need to read that again? It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order just as Christ was risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You can live the new resurrected life right now on earth. If that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will. Romans 8 and 11. Folks, after I read this, you should be running around and jumping around in the room. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit that lives in you. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, hallelujah! Come on! The resurrected spirit is inside of you. Therefore, we can live a resurrected life today. Through the power of God, praise God. Not only that, but we may look forward to the day. You see, Jesus was ascending. And the disciples was watching. And the angels were speaking. And they said, this same Jesus that you see taken away from you shall return in like manner. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And we who are dead shall be raised up, hallelujah, to meet him in the air. There's another resurrection coming, and that's for me and you. We shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Woo! We have hope. Don't matter how dark it seems around you. Don't matter what the media put out there. We, as children of God, has the Spirit of God in us. And we shall see Christ again because he's coming again. Hallelujah. I get a little excited now and then. Question. Are you living the resurrected life? Well, as we close, we have a great thing to do, is to celebrate what Jesus has done through communion. I told you all last week to get your communion stuff ready. Now is the time to bring it out. Why? Today is important, and we all may not be in the room. But nothing can separate us, because we all have the Spirit of God, wherever you are. I would encourage, if the head of the household is home, that he will pass out the elements, being the priest of his home. If not, whoever holds that headship would do so. And here's the thing. If you do not know Christ, you can know him now. Because what he did, he died on the cross and paid the full penalty of our sins. And then he rose again so we can celebrate life.
Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Oh, come at the Lord's invitation. Receive from his nail-scarred hands. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he passed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body. It's broken for you." I don't know at the time if they understood the full impact of what was going on. But I have experienced the broken body of Christ. I have experienced healing in my body. Because it says that by his stripes we are healed. And this is for all of us. Not just one of us. Not just some of us. It's for all of us. Once you name the name of Christ, once you have his Spirit living in you, he says, "This body has been broken for you. You can take it and eat it." And I pray this morning that if you have any kind of illness in your body, that you would have faith that God can, through this simple act of remembering what he did for you on the cross, you would receive healing in your body. Let us partake together.
On the night you were betrayed, you took the bread. After giving thanks, you broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And as you eat it, remember me. This is my body, broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me.
Jesus. I remember like it was yesterday, when I was 12 years old and gave my heart to the Lord. It was in Scarborough, Tobago, in the marketplace, the parking lot, and the evangelist was speaking, and the Spirit of the Lord drew me. And I experienced what this is all about. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, once and for all. He said, this is my blood, poured out for you. He says, take it and drink all of it. And as often as you do, remember. I want you today to think back to the day when God came into your life. Think back to the time when God called you out by His Spirit. And you made a profession of faith in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. Let us partake together.
On the night you were betrayed, you held the cup. After giving thanks, you lifted it up. This is my blood,
Jesus,
poured out for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And as you drink it, remember
Jesus.
Me.
Jesus.
This is my blood, poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me. So we thank you for the wine and the bread.
Jesus.
For we see the life you gave and the blood that you shed. We remember your wondrous love.
Jesus.
You gave your body, you shed your blood.
Jesus.
And we remember your
Jesus.
Wondrous love. You gave
Jesus.
Your body, you shed
Jesus.
Your blood.
Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
by your blood,
Jesus, yes, Jesus, Jesus,
by your blood,
Jesus,
into the holy place.
Jesus.
By your blood you have saved us. By your blood you have freed us.
By
your blood we can enter
into
your holy place. By your love you forgave us. By your power you have raised us. By your blood, precious blood of the Lamb. Father God in heaven, precious Lamb of God, we humbly bow before you and cry, holy, holy, all of heaven singing the song of the redeemed, giving glory to the Lamb. By your blood you have saved us. By your blood you have freed us. By your blood we can enter into the holy place. By your love
You forgave us by your power. You have raised us by your blood, precious blood of the Lamb. By your blood, precious blood of the Lamb.
Jesus, today we are so thankful that you came and that you went all the way. You went to the end, you said, it is finished. And Father, we thank you that on the third day you rose, you took him out of that grave. And now he sits at your right hand. And we have the Comforter living inside of us. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you are doing. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. We ask, Father, that you would protect your people. Lord, protect your people. Put a hedge around those that are yours. Lord, we think of our households. We pray for our children, for our parents, for our sons and daughters. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would just put a protection. Those who still have to go out in the work field, oh God. We think of the nurses and the doctors. We think about the ambulance workers. We think about the firemen. We think about the employees at Walmart and the employees in the drugstores. Lord God, all those who have to go out and still work, Lord, we ask, oh God, that you will protect them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask, oh God, that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Purge us, oh God, that we may be clean. Wash us, oh God, that we may be whiter than snow. And Father, let us have hope, even in this time, knowing that you are our God. And Lord, we want to give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God is good all the time. Go and be blessed.